Yes, I am going to talk about the church and sex this morning. And I want to start by saying that I'm aware that in the past I have made some bad decisions combining themes and holidays. One Christmas Eve, I preached about a guy who lived in the mountains where he accidentally poisoned himself and died. And that did not seem to go over very well with the folks in the pews. So if you're wondering, Kent, why sex on Father's Day? This does not seem like a great combination. I am not going to dispute that claim. But there is no explicit connection other than sexuality is important to dads just like it is to all human beings. Sexuality is the spiritual theme of the month. I did decide not to focus on sex at the church retreat with so many kids in the worship service. So that was a good decision. This is the Sunday we have, people. And it's important to talk about how the church needs to play a strong role in proclaiming that sex can be a wholesome expression of intimacy and joy. Sex can be a wholesome expression of intimacy and joy. Now, you know, when the media looks at the church, churches, and sex, usually the story is portraying something problematic with a negative consequence. And let's be frank, the Christian church at large, the church universal, has earned a really bad reputation on many issues related to sexuality. The mega example is the Catholic Church sex abuse crisis globally. A decade ago here in the United States, the Conference of Catholic Bishops created a national review board which studied the nature and scope of the problem of sexual abuse of minors by clergy. A woman who served on the review board said that they expected to study an epidemic or a crisis which was spreading extensively. They realized that the problem was endemic, like groundwater, already prevalent in every diocese of the United States. The most conservative number that I have seen and believe in of American priests who have been accused of rape and sex abuse is 4,500. Now, there's a massive cover-up, so there's no real way to see how many are accused versus how many are guilty, but I believe from studying that many are guilty, and globally there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of cases where priests are guilty. And even under Francis, who many of us are hopeful for as the new pope, the cover-up continues. The church has not been held accountable. Unacceptable for people of the world. Thank goodness no other denomination is known to have any abuse at that scale, but other denominations have clergy responsible for sexual abuse of adults and minors. We Unitarian Universalists had some bad decades when clergy had sex with multiple members of their congregations in misuse of power. However, since the 90s, I believe we have run a disciplined ship, imposing serious consequences for violators, and abuse has significantly declined in our churches. When I came into seminary in 93, the message was clear. If you mess up abusing people sexually, you'll be done. And that message has been clear for 20 years, and I think that we've been sticking with it. So let's keep sticking with it. So one asks, I think many of us say, how do church leaders, I know there's a lot of denominations I'm combining here, rationalize such unacceptable behavior? And my opinion is bad behavior often comes from bad ideas, or in this case, bad theology, bad doctrine, bad church teachings. Example, some of the most influential Christian ideas on sex come from St. Augustine, who was a 4th century Catholic bishop in Constantinople. Like Paul, Augustine was a convert from bad ways. He was meandering with many women. And then he got right with God and became staunchly conservative, saying that the flesh is wicked, flawed, and sinful. Now you may be saying, Kent, this guy's a 4th century theologian. What does that matter for today? And that's what I thought before I went to seminary. I took a third of my classes at the University of Chicago Divinity School, which is represented by many seminarians from almost all the denominations that you would think of in America. And without question, the most popular theologian was Augustine. This guy, they loved how he articulated what we should know about God and how we should live it out. And I could not understand. I would tell friend after, help me understand why everybody thinks Augustine is their favorite. Why not some of the social gospel theologians or Gandhi? And they say, well, you may not get it, but he was just brilliant, and many of the doctrines we have today come right from him. And in doing so, they would not say, but of course, you know, a lot of his ideas on sex were harmful or off base. They wouldn't attack those ideas in classes. And I think it is an example of what is alive in a lot of these churches. Bad thinking leads to bad actions and rationalizing and giving excuses. Calcified, old, unhelpful ways. And then it leads to these specific ideas that churches articulate. Ridiculous teachings like engaging in homosexual sex is a sin. Ridiculous. Masturbation and the use of contraception are seen as violation of God's law. Ridiculous. Not helpful for the human family to hear that from their religious institution. Now, we liberal church folk are not exempt from blame. And this is important for us to take our responsibility in this. When Unitarian Universalists have historically said in our churches, I love my church because in my church you can believe whatever you want. How many times have we heard that over the decades? You come to our church, you can believe whatever you want. Well, when people are told they can believe whatever they want, guess what? They think they can do whatever they want. And they can pretend that abusing boundaries is okay, or that boundaries don't exist or shouldn't exist. And this overemphasis on freedom has been problematic for us. So let's keep owning that. You shouldn't be able to believe whatever you want or do whatever you want. That is baloney. That being said, for many decades, and actually well over 100 years, Unitarians and Universalists have also been teaching great ideas about sexuality. We have a lot of excellent tradition on this. We have been teaching that sex can be a wholesome expression of intimacy and joy. And a lot of folks in the public realm don't know that some churches like ours have healthy, excellent ideas about human sexuality. For over 150 years, Unitarian and Universalist leaders have been proclaiming healthy and respectful ideas. In the late 1800s, the great Unitarian poet Walt Whitman wrote sensuous poetry about mutually respectful sex. He talked about bold women and gentle men. He said, "Sex contains all the passions, loves, beauties, and delights of the earth." All the delights of the earth. Since 1971, Unitarian Universalist congregations have been teaching our adults and teenagers that sexuality is a good and wholesome part of our human experience. People engage in healthy sexual behavior for a variety of reasons that may include expressing care and love, expressing intimacy and connection, sharing pleasure, bringing new life into the world. And we also, like we have heard today with our Share the Plate partner organization, we've been saying as a religion for decades that the church has to talk the talk and walk the walk in living out our belief that sexuality in our society is damaged by violence, exploitation, alienation, dishonesty, abuse of power. Covenant House and USG should get media attention today because the media should be telling people about Covenant House, and this church stands with them as other churches do. Now, if you're new to this conversation with Unitarian Universalists and sects, you may be saying, wow, or whoa, that this church teaches about sexuality to our teenagers. And yes, it's true, we've been doing it for decades. We work to get, it's a nationally renowned curriculum, we work to give them the best information possible in a respectful environment so that they can make the best decisions respectfully for themselves and for others. We know they're already making decisions and are going to be making more decisions. We want to equip them to make the best decisions. So, but whether you agree with that idea of sex ed for youth in the church or not, you may be thinking, well, it still sounds awkward. This worship service, I imagine, may be awkward for a number of people, including the minister. So, and sometimes it is. There is no way around it. I was a student. I was in the OWL class when it was known by a different name, and I was in the 70s, and we learned about dating and intercourse and masturbation. And I remember I was in junior high at the time in a public school and be talking to the other kids about what they're doing in their churches. And with the sex ed, I was like, we are not doing what the other kids are doing in church. I did not totally realize this is a Unitarian until sex ed. And I specifically remember, bless his heart, one of our teachers of our youth group had written a personal poem about his experience with sex, and Jerry got up and the poem talked about feeling like he was soaring like an eagle, and sometimes he was on the beach and going slow like a turtle. And we're sitting there, ooh, Jerry, please stop. Jerry. Our advisors are not reading personal poems about sex to our youth. Not at all. It's not happening in 2013. That was the 70s. But it is awkward. You know, this stuff can be, you know, it's not easy stuff. But since when does something being awkward or challenging make it not worthwhile? We know it's often the opposite. If something is tough, maybe that's an indication we have to go through it together. And we go through it for a reason. Believe me, because our whole lives for our youth has a positive impact on our youth. The advisors and the teachers often talk to the ministers and tell us what they're experiencing, hear from the kids. Here is some of what we hear from the adult advisors. I've seen a greater confidence among the teens in navigating sexual issues with their peers. I've seen the girls more willing to stand up to their peers about ridiculing gay kids with gay slurs. And I've seen the girls be more honest and articulate about what they want in terms of touch and what they don't want. With the boys, I've seen an awakening to the understanding that sex is not something you do to somebody else, but it is something you do with someone else. And the boys have developed a framework of this is a relationship idea as well. Seeing a greater response, a sense of responsibility for their actions, one boy said to one of the advisors, I am never having sex without a condom because I will not be unresponsible and get a girl pregnant like that. It's important. It's awkward for me to possibly be saying this in the pulpit, but this is important. The church has to deal with issues that matter in our lives. Now, there is an adult Our Whole Lives curriculum. We have not used it at this church yet, but our ACE leader, Andrea Barsovic, is being trained on it this summer, and she's willing to teach a course in the fall. I suggest we all lobby her to do so, and that would be a wonderful program for adults to experience together. Because when we do engage with this stuff together as caring human beings, using our brains and our hearts, we ourselves are able to experience and recognize the words found in Mae Svensson's poem. Let us deceive ourselves for a little while. Let us pretend that air is earth, and falling lie resting within each other's gaze. Let us deny that flame consumes, that fruit ripens, that the wave must break. Let us lean upon the moment and expect time to enfold us. Expect time to enfold us. That is the glory of living. And our faith movement is about embracing the glory of living. We must do this work of having the church engage healthy sexuality so that we can embrace the glory of living. We must do this work so that we can reduce as much as possible in our own lives experiences of sadness, loneliness, or lack of fulfillment. We must do this work so that in our own lives and in the world, we can reduce AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases and sexual objectification and exploitation. If churches are teaching healthy sex and what's wrong, those things will go down. We must unite with people of good conscience everywhere as strong, loving allies in the face of the sex abuse crisis of the Catholic Church and in society at large, which is overly apathetic about sex abuse and child abuse. And in order to do that, to have the power to do this work in the community and at the global level, we have to practice. We have to practice intimacy and connection. We can't just have these be ideas that we discuss, like Plato looking at the shadows on the cave and saying what they mean. We have to engage in spiritual practices. Now, people, I have never said what I'm about to say in the pulpit. But you know what the spiritual exercise of the month has to be, right? Yes, you know what it is. Have sex. Spiritual sex. One of the spiritual exercises in the small group ministry curriculum, and I'm offering it today for your consideration. Go home. Say, yep, that's what the pastor said. I was not imagining it. Have sex. Some folks can have sex with their partners, with somebody else. Some folks can have sex with themselves. But go and experience some intimacy and pleasure. The second spiritual exercise. These are not mutually exclusive, and you can do both. Sexual health is partly related to how we feel about our bodies. So, recall your teen years up to 17. What was it like living in your body during that time? What feelings do you remember having about your body? Was your body image positive or negative? You can write about that and reflect on it. And then think about adulthood since 18-4. This, it may be helpful to break this down into different sections of your life. Maybe young adulthood, middle age, maturing life. What feelings did you have about your body? Did you have positive or negative body image? And then think about from today going forward. Power of now. Power of now. What feelings would you like to have about your body? What attitudes would you like to nurture in terms of thinking about and taking care of your temple, your sacred body? Sex can be a wholesome expression of intimacy and joy. When we work to have a healthy relationship between the church and sex, we can become more effective agents of joy and goodness in the world. May it be so. Blessings be. Amen.